What's up, everybody? I'm Billy Humphrey.
I'm Corey Russell.
And this is Grit, Awakening the Groan in a Generation for Revival and the return of the Lord. Come on, we're in episode 9 of our 6th season. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
The entire season. In the last season, we talked about how the Holy Spirit awakens that groan in us. Actually,
yes.
our tagline from Romans 8:26. But what we want to talk about this episode is we want to talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's a lot that's been said in the body of Christ. There's divisions that have happened in the body of Christ because of speaking in tongues or baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so what we want to do is just lay out the verses that have made the most impact on us.
Yes.
Look at it in the book of Acts. And at the end of this session, we want to pray for you for either if you've already been filled with the Holy Spirit, a fresh infilling and baptism, or if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit and had the evidence of speaking in other tongues, we want to pray that God would fill you, baptize you, and that you would actually get your prayer language in this episode. We believe the Lord will do that now.
Amen.
Public service announcement, disclaimer. When we get to praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, please quit operating any heavy machinery or a vehicle. We want to ask you to go ahead and just pull on over at that point. Get in a good parking lot.
Put your welding torch down.
Put your welding torch, your forklifting.
Yes.
Stop that and just take a moment to receive. We do not want any, lawsuits. Or any kind of like giving us.
We are not responsible.
Yeah, we are not responsible. We don't want the receipt for the broken inventory or the wrecked car. Amen. All right. Well, public service announcement. So, here's where we're going to go. Luke chapter 3.
Let's go.
I thought this, just reviewing the verses on the Holy Spirit, it meant so much to me because it engages Jesus so critically, essentially, in the process of us being baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so when John is giving a response to the questions that the Pharisees and the Jews are asking him, they're saying, who are you? What authority do you have? Are you the Christ? Do we look for someone else? What's the story? John is going to go ahead and answer. And he says this in verse 16 of Luke chapter 3. He says, John responded to them all saying, as for me, I baptize you with water. Now, when I read that, I kind of read it like this. I only baptize you with water.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm baptizing you with water for repentance. You're going to repent. This is a mikvah. That's the Jewish term for a cleansing bath. I'm giving you that baptism. But there is another guy coming who's got a completely different baptism. He says, as for me, I baptize you with water, but he is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit in fire. Now, got to read verse 17 because it's the same breath. His winnowing fork is in his hand. That was a kind of a pitchfork they used to separate wheat from the weeds, the chaff. His winnowing fork is in his hand to thoroughly clear out his threshing floor. That's where they would put the harvest to get the wheat and the chaff separated. They would do it on these threshing floors, and the wind would come and blow the chaff off the wheat when they would toss it in the air. And he's going to gather the wheat into his barns, but he's going to burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire, which is interesting because we have the dimension of fire that empowers, it purifies, it anoints, and right there in the original explanation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have this other dimension of judgment.
Yes.
It's so interesting how both of those components come through the ministry and the power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
The thing I want to say to you guys, and I had a friend that used to say this all the time, but if I were to ask you, what was John's favorite revelation of Jesus? You know, some might say Lamb of God, maybe
bright. I would have probably said Lamb of God.
Yeah, you would think that was the most quoted revelation that John had of Jesus. It wasn't Lamb of God, Bridegroom, or Messiah. It was the one who will baptize
you. The baptizer.
The baptizer. In all four Gospels, you see a reference to this verse.
Wow.
This is the pronounced revelation that John is walking in, understanding, guys, I can clean the outside of the cup.
Mm.
Him, he's getting up in your business.
Mm.
He's coming on the inside to bring a transition within the Holy Spirit and fire.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit and fire. And we know, we quoted it in an earlier session, Jesus was longing to release fire on the earth.
Yes.
He was longing in Luke 12:49 to release fire on the earth, and how distressed I am till it's accomplished.
So and there's see those components of fire as the fire of the power of God and the fire of the judgment of God?
I see cleansing unto endowment.
Mm.
I see the preparation and the purification that can handle the increasing weight of the Holy Spirit's ministry.
Mm.
So I see that that's what he was doing. That's why, you know, we'll get it here in a little bit, but in Acts 2, they went through the fire of the cross.
Yes.
The fire of those last 6 months of the disciples were their deficiencies being exposed.
Yeah.
The anger, the competition, the comparison, the denials, all of their fault lines. I see that as the baptism of fire when everything inside of you is getting exposed to where you're coming into contact over the weakness of your flesh, the brokenness of your interior life. And that is the work of God of actually purifying and conforming you, cleansing you, delivering you.
Yeah.
To prepare you for the fire of Pentecost.
Wow.
That was going to come on them.
Wow.
I think it's fire within and fire upon.
Wow. Okay.
And so, I mean, we all come to these in different ways.
Yeah, I love that.
But that's because in Luke 12, he goes, I came to send fire and how I wish it were already released.
Already came.
But I got to go through my baptism.
Yes.
So that they'll be baptized.
Yes, yes.
And so I think there's an element of Pentecost, an element of the progressing purifying, cleansing, anointing of fire in this age.
Mm.
But there is an ultimate judgment realm of the fire that's going to be about the cleansing of the house of Israel, the cleansing of his church, the cleansing of the earth to prepare for the fullness of God's plan.
So good. All right, so John introduces Jesus. He's going to be a baptizer. He's going to baptize us in Holy Spirit and in fire. Now, that's just so interesting because I just think about John's putting people in water and pulling them out. Jesus is dunking us in Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he abides with you forever.
That's right.
He's all saturating you. So there's an interesting thing because in the scripture we have born of the Spirit.
Yes.
The water, born of the water, natural, and then the born of the Spirit. And then we have the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And they're two separate events.
Yes.
And so in John 20, Jesus appears to the disciples. This is after he's been crucified, after he's been resurrected. He appears in their midst. He says, peace be with you.
And he breathed on them.
He says, as the Father has sent me, I send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, to me, that's when they got born again.
I agree.
That's because you can't get born again until you believe in the risen Christ,
which I think we need to wrestle with. I mean, the disciples were not born of the Spirit.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet.
This is the first time we ever see them being born of the Spirit.
Yes.
So just like in Adam, when God breathed into Adam and created this man, and then he sinned and death entered Adam.
Yes.
Now we see again the breath of God through Jesus breathed in to the disciples and their spirit is alive.
Yes, yes.
Powerful. So that same group plus a whole nother crew are going to be with each other in the upper room.
Yes.
It's going to be about 50 days.
Yes.
Right? And so we pick up that story in the book of Acts.
Yes. Acts 1 is really important.
So you go ahead and take it from there. Acts 1, 4, and 5.
Well, they're asking them about the coming. Acts 1, 4. And we want you to go there with us in your Bible. We really want to, we're going to get there to the baptism, but you really got to see this thing to get confidence.
It's helpful to get clarity and not just have a Holy Spirit experience. Like, we want you to understand.
Jesus taught for 40 days. You got to hear this, guys. Jesus taught for 40 days on the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
This is what blows me away. That wasn't enough to start Christianity.
Yeah. Risen Christ.
A risen Christ teaching for 40 days was not enough to start Christianity, which means you can have all the manuals and all the books and all the teaching institutions in the world, and that's not going to change the world.
Jesus.
This is why Holy Spirit is so important and powerful.
Jesus.
And why we need a restoration. There's the new birth is about Holy Spirit within you. The baptism of the Spirit is Holy Spirit upon you. There's a massive difference as it relates to the life of God flowing within and out, but it's about the impact of the world around
you. Yes.
So look at this. That was not enough. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait on the promise of the Father,
Jesus.
Which he says, you have heard from me. For John, he's going to quote this, truly baptized with water. Look at this. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
Yes.
Therefore, when they had come together, they said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And that is coming. And Jesus says, it's not for you to know the time or the seasons, which the Father's put in his own authority. Verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
So what's clear to me is instantly, this is at a different time than John 20.
Yes.
This is a separate experience.
40 days later.
They got born again in John 20, and here he's promising, this is getting ready to happen to you.
Yes. So he's prophesying, and then the cloud comes and takes Jesus up, takes them out. And last words is, you can just see Jesus saying, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't think the information's what's going to save the world. It's the release of the Holy Spirit. That's what's going to change the world.
Because, I mean, at this point, Peter, he's not transformed into this authoritative apostle yet.
No.
There's something more that he needs.
He's probably still just walking out of the last
working
season.
Working out his own
my goodness.
Ups and downs, his own denial and his own weakness.
And so the Lord tells them, go to the upper room, and we have 120 that make it up there.
Yeah.
We see Jesus's mother and the brothers and the sisters there with them, with the 120 disciples.
Mm.
And let's just go ahead and get to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And it says this, so they had been there for about 10 days. And the day of Pentecost, one of the great feasts of the year where Jews from all over the world will descend upon
Jerusalem.
And it's
50 days after Passover, Jesus crucified on Passover.
Yes.
So here we are 50 days later.
50 days later. And it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all, look at this, filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then we have them, at this moment, we have all these Jews gathered together, and then we have the young men, the disciples, stumbling out of the upper room. And in verse 14, Peter will stand up. Now, this is what the Holy Spirit's baptism does. It takes lambs and turns them into lions.
Come on.
It takes the sheepish ones. It takes a man that was scared of a little girl by a campfire 50 days earlier denying Jesus. And here he is standing up in the midst of all Jews who have gathered for the Feast of Pentecost.
Come on.
And who are standing up and with boldness. Look at what, this is what the Holy Spirit baptism does. And he says, guys, they're not drunk as you suppose.
Yeah.
And then he's going to quote Joel saying in the last days, God would pour out his Spirit, sons and daughters would prophesy.
Mm.
And then Peter launches into the first message as he attests that Jesus is the Son of God. You killed him. God raised him from the dead. And he commands every one of you to repent now.
Come on. You know, we've been talking about the power of the new birth, the power of the indwelling spirit. And we've been saying you're a trillionaire because you have that.
Yes.
Now I want you to see something. In John 20, Jesus breathed the breath of life. But here in Acts 2, when Holy Spirit came, a violent rushing wind. And so there is a dynamic of heaven's power that God wants to clothe you with. He wants to endue you with.
You shall be clothed.
He wants to put it on you so that you are carrying power everywhere you go. And the point of the power isn't so that you can have a flex, isn't so that you can do something cool and tell everybody. The point of the power that's on you is to demonstrate that Jesus Christ himself is risen from the dead.
That's it.
That you're a witness of his deity, of his coming, of his crucifixion, his resurrection, and his ascension. That you are a witness that he has gone and power is now on you to testify of that truth.
This is, and I just want to say it to you, there is always more.
Always.
There are always fresh baptisms in the Spirit, fresh fillings, fresh anointings, fresh fire that comes upon your life that gives you a fresh fire and boldness to proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord. And we see on the day of Pentecost that tongues are going to accompany this. That these Galilean fishermen are stumbling out of this upper room, and these Jews from the nations are hearing them talk, magnifying God in their languages.
In their own languages.
That's astounding to me that God... Shocking. Now, Jesus told us in Mark 16 that those who would believe would speak in new tongues.
Yes.
He told us that this would be a sign of those that would believe and those that would follow. And we have it on the day of Pentecost that God is using the tongues of the nations as a witness to the resurrection of Jesus and to the birth of the church.
Yes. And it's not just on the day of Pentecost.
That's right.
It's in Acts 10 at Cornelius' house in Caesarea. It's in Acts 19 in Ephesus. There's a power that's released, and tongues accompany these outpourings. It wasn't just a one-time thing.
No, it wasn't.
People are like, oh, well, there was on day of Pentecost. See, no. It happened over and over and over. Here's the other point. These same guys that were filled in Acts 2, baptized, in Acts 4, they were freshly filled. And when you read Ephesians 5, it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Filled.
Yeah, that verse or that verb is a progressive continuation verb.
Yes.
The present tense is always a continual. So it's be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. We're not supposed to get like filled once, speak in tongues once, and yay, we got it. We're supposed to continue being filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to pray in just a moment for a fresh baptism for many of you. You've been filled before. You're going to get freshly filled.
Yes.
But some of you have never been filled with the Holy Spirit and spoken other tongues. You've never been endued with power. That's about to happen for you right now. And the reason why we're giving you the Bible verses, it's not to talk you into it. It's to bring you to a place of faith.
Yes.
Now, when the power of God came on them, here's what also happened. The fire of God showed up.
Yes.
And it sat on each of them. This is part of the baptism of the Spirit and
fire.
The fire, the manifestation of the Spirit. Fire was literally on each one of them. Imagine you're in that prayer meeting. You hear this mighty rushing wind, and fire is setting on everybody's head.
Divided tongues of fire.
Yeah, and they're not tongues like these tongues. They're pieces of fire. Pops down, lands on people. There's fire landing on people. It's breaking out and landing on people.
Visible.
And then they all begin to speak in unknown languages, unknown tongues. This is such a powerful, dynamic, shocking, amazing. When I first saw this, I'd gotten saved. I didn't know that there was a Holy Spirit. I was like the guys in Acts 19. And somebody explained to me, man, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and God is going to give you another language that you can pray in, and you're going to enter in, like we talked about in the last episode, the groans of the Holy Spirit and pray the perfect will of God. When you pray in the Spirit, I was like, I want that now.
I want it.
whatever that is, I'll take it right now. Hand it over. Because it wasn't about I want to flex. It was like, I just want everything that's available of God. I'm hungry and I want it right now. I know some of you have been listening to us. You think, man, those guys are wild. Like, what's their deal? We have people that have reached out to us. They go, hey, we don't know what you're talking about, but it looks awesome. Like, it seems cool. We really enjoy your passion, your hunger. We're not putting on anything. This is just who we are. We live like this. But some of you right now, you've been tracking with us. You've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Even right as I'm speaking right now, you feel the Lord coming on you. You're about to get baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire.
Acts 2, they were filled. Acts 4, they were filled.
Yes. And when they were filled in Acts 4, an earthquake hit the place.
That's right. The building was shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke the word of God with boldness. In Acts 8, Samaria received the word of God. Then John and Peter came to Samaria, and they received the Holy Spirit.
They laid hands on them because the Holy Spirit hadn't been poured out on those guys yet.
Acts 10, the door opened to the Gentile world through Cornelius' house. And they were, as Peter was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on them and they began to speak in other tongues. In Acts 13, the Holy Spirit set apart Saul and Barnabas.
Mm.
In Acts 19, Paul would come to Ephesus, find 12 that only knew the baptism of John, and said, have you heard of the baptism of the Spirit? We hadn't even heard there was a Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And then he led them to Jesus, and then he laid hands on them, and those 12 over the next 2 years would turn into 25,000 as revival hit Ephesus.
Oh.
Guys, this pervaded everything in the early church.
Come on.
The Corinthians were zealous for the gifts of the Spirit. They were moving in the gifts of the Spirit.
Yes.
Paul talks about in Ephesians 5, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. On and on and on. No matter how long you've been in this thing, there is always more. And whether you've ever heard about this or not, I want to tell you the devil has worked overtime to steal
this
from the church.
That's right.
He is, because it's the greatest threat to the kingdom of darkness is a baptized in the Holy Ghost church on the earth,
yes,
on fire,
yes,
walking in humility,
yes,
walking in holiness, walking in godliness, walking in unity. That's the greatest threat, is a truly baptized in the Spirit church.
Yes.
Luke 11 says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children,
how much more?
How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
The Apostle Paul said, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all.
Oh.
But then he went on to say, here's some great boundaries of how you do it in the church. Let's not all just shout in tongues in church when unbelievers are in there. Let's make sure that there's the gift of interpretation when we do it in the public. But in private, we can pray in tongues.
Absolutely.
All together. They did it in Acts 2. They did it in Acts 10. They did it in Acts 19. They were all praying in tongues without interpretation. We got to look at the Bible and see what the practice was and what the praxis and the principle was.
Yes.
So that we can make sure that they match. And sometimes the people say, well, you got to forbid speaking in tongues.
Yes.
If there is no interpreter. That's not what Paul said. He goes, if there's no interpreter, just pray to yourself. Well, if I'm talking to myself, I'm talking to myself kind of like this.
That's right.
But if I'm praying to myself, I'm showing kind of like that. And then Paul would end up in 1 Corinthians 14 and he would say, do not forbid to speak in tongues. He was not trying to shut it down like so many have read 1 Corinthians 14. He was trying to give them good boundaries.
Yes.
So they knew where they could play. It's like the kids on the playground, when you don't give them a fence, they all huddle around the jungle gym in the middle. But if you give them a fence, they know exactly where the boundaries are. That's what he was giving us in 1 Corinthians 14, so that we could actually experience and practice the flowing of the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit, moving in the Spirit. And so that's what we want to do right now.
Yeah. I want you right now, if you've never received your prayer language before, okay, I want you to open up your hand. And even if you have before, I want to rip the badge off your chest. I want a fresh river to flow through your life. It's time what used to be a river is turned into a dam. The Lord wants to release a fresh river. We're going to ask him right now and we're going to wait on him. Just say it right now. Just say, Father.
Yes, Father.
I ask you in the name of Jesus.
Ask you in the name of Jesus.
To baptize me with the Holy Ghost.
Baptize me with the Holy Ghost.
I want to speak in tongues.
I want to speak in tongues.
I want to prophesy.
I want to prophesy.
I want everything you died for.
I want everything you died
so
for.
So baptize me now.
So baptize me now.
From the top of my head.
From the top of my head.
To the bottom of my feet.
To the bottom of my
feet. I want
feet.
A river to break out of me.
I want rivers to break out of me.
I receive you, Holy Spirit.
I receive Holy Spirit.
I honor you, Holy Spirit.
I honor you, Holy
Spirit. Take over my life.
Take over my life.
Fill me.
Fill me.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Jesus, you're the baptizer. Baptize every person listening right now. Some of you for the very first time right now, you're going to pray in the Spirit. Go ahead and pray in another tongue right now. As the Spirit gives you the utterance, go ahead and let it go. Loose their tongues right now.
Feel it welling up from within your belly. When it rolls up, step out of the boat. You will feel like an idiot, and that's where God rules.
Be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Be filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Be filled.
Jesus, thank you for enduing us with power to be witnesses. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for speaking in unknown tongues as the Spirit gives us the utterance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We receive it. We're grateful. We love you. Listen, you just received it. You can turn it on, the tongues, you can turn it on, you can turn it off. It's kind of like calling the electric company and getting the power connected to your house. Then the light switch on, you turn it off. The power is still there. You're just activating it when you flip it on. So you can pray in tongues. You can start, you can stop, you can sing in the Spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, he sings with the Spirit and he sings with the understanding. It's one of my favorite ways to pray,
yeah.
Is singing in the Holy Spirit.
What's the conclusion then? I will sing with my spirit, sing with my understanding, praise with my spirit, and pray with my understanding.
Yes.
Lord, we bless you.
We bless you. Listen, if you received it right now for the first time, or if you've gotten a touch and a fresh infilling, hit us up.
Yeah.
We want to hear about what God's doing in your life through the baptism and the infilling of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Gripped. We pray this episode blessed you. If so, feel free to subscribe and leave a good rating. You can watch this episode and more on our YouTube channel, Gripped Podcast, and feel free to follow us on Instagram @TheGrippedPodcast. Bless you.